लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today, I have an actor, also writer and producer based in LA, born in England. So maybe you already know who I'm talking about. And I'm very happy to have him, and I'm saying hello to Robert Keefe. Welcome to my podcast, Robert. Hello.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining me. First question, on your Instagram profile, you have the sentence, just a human trying to be happy. What makes you happy?
Knowing that I have love and support from my family, friends, and loved ones. That to me is the most important thing in my life. I'm here for a small space of time, and I don't want to have any problems. I don't appreciate having bad energy around me. I want to have, I enjoy being around happy people. That's what makes me happy. Good energy coming from people, and knowing that I have love and support. So that's pretty much what I want people to see as soon as they click on my profile, that that's what I'm about. Don't bring anything negative into my space.
Any bad vibes? No need.
It's just, if you want to bring bad vibes, go somewhere else. So.
Yeah. So does I assume right that a good way to handle bad vibes is playing a villain in a vertical then? Because it's just a possibility to be a bit bad, but...
Being a villain is always... it can be a lot of fun. Some of my best work and definitely some of my best reviews have been from being a villain. Some of them are just outright awful people. And that's, you know, sometimes there are just those roles that need to be filled. Somebody has to be the bad guy, unfortunately. My favorite villain that I've done has been, he wasn't necessarily a physical individual, but it's just the way he conducted himself. He just believed that he was better than everybody else. And he led through just being an assertive individual. He made sure that everybody knew that he was in charge and that there was no gray area for that. It was black and white. I'm in charge. I'm better than you. So it wasn't necessarily that when I was playing the character I'm specifically thinking of, he was a casino owner and a mafia character.
Which radical was that?
It was called Escaping the Mafia, I Married a Homeless Billionaire.
Great titles.
Yes, wonderful title. It was a character that when I read it, I don't immediately look to play a villain, but I have criteria when I do. And it has to be someone who's not physically abusive to the female lead.
Yeah.
And I need someone who's got more than one dimension of just being, I'm angry at you, I don't like you, and I'm going to do everything in my power to scream, yell, and act like a child. So this villain was very much, there was a lot more character to him. There was a lot of room for me to play around. And I need someone who's a little bit more complex. They have a bit more of a dimension to them. And I could be the bad guy just through the way that I look, through different mannerisms, the way that I move my face, the way that I the way that I stand, those sorts of things. Or even if, instead of turning to one of my henchmen and snapping my fingers, I don't even have to turn. If I can just look at it, I can glare and then snap. Those sorts of things, I want someone who can just give me the ability to let loose.
How did you prepare for that?
So the way this character read to me when I first watched it, when I first read the script, it was very similar to how I saw Heath Ledger's performance of the Joker. And obviously we're talking two very different mediums. But what Heath did with that character obviously is iconic. And it was more about just the way he twitched and the way his eyes moved and narrowed and the way he sort of moved his face around. And he didn't do it by punching people and clicking. He did it through intimidation, like getting close to people and making them feel really, really uncomfortable. And that's, I got to play around with it that way. I had two very long scenes in that project. And because of the length of those scenes, I was able to play around with so many different emotions and mannerisms. And that's why he's my favorite villain that I've done. So in preparing, you sometimes have to get yourself into a bit of an unhealthy headspace. But sometimes that is sadly what brings out the best of a character.
Yeah, true, true. And what was your favorite lovey-dovey role? When we are talking already about the favorite villain one, what is the contraire lovey-dovey favorite one?
It would be a character that I played. It was my first venture over to China. And it was in a project called Stole Your Alpha for Revenge. And my character was called Daniel Bennett. And he was one of those characters where he starts off as every alpha character does, sort of strong and stoic. But then eventually you have this character progression where he realizes why the female lead has come back into his life. And there was so many different emotions that it was very much a roller coaster of emotions that you could just see him breaking down from being this strong, stoic person. The best emotional role, the best emotional scene I've ever done was in this project. And by the end of it, I was mentally tired. And it was because of this whole wave of emotions that I got to explore. Instead of just being this strong individual from start, middle, and finish, There were just different layers of emotions that I got to explore with, not just with my characters, but with my characters' relationships with the female lead and the female villain, and then all of the other characters that came around. And you could see the progression of this man's emotional and mental state as the project went on. And it was just a lot of fun to play.
So when you have roles like that, how easy is it to go after a shooting day home and switch back to the, let's say, private Robert? Or is it kind of trapping you for the whole shooting days, this role, so that you cannot, let's say, switch a break when you're home?
I've been very lucky that when I did the role of Daniel, I was abroad, so it was, once I got off set, I was back in my hotel room. So it was, I didn't really have the ability to switch off. But then when I played the character, the villain character I was talking about was a character called Lucas Lampson. And he wasn't, like I said, he wasn't a healthy individual to play. But then I had the car ride home where I could sort of decompress, listen to some happy music that sort of made me feel better. And then I get home. I'm in the comfort of my own home. I have my bed. You know, I make my environment healthy and happy for myself. And then I'm around people that make me feel loved. And I have to show up for them. I have to switch and think, I'm not this character anymore. I've got to be Robert. I have to show up. I have to be present for my loved ones. Because ultimately, they are the most important people in my life. My family, friends. They don't need my character, they need me. They don't want my character, they want me. So for me to be anything besides myself for them is doing my family and friends a disservice. So as much as you want to be, you know, there are plenty of actors. Everyone has their own different method. If you want to stay in character for the entire duration of filming, fair enough. If that's what works for you, fair enough. What works for me is knowing the character, knowing the material before you go on to day one of filming. And then you can switch in and out of those characters when you need to. I look for the characters, like I said, they're a bit more complex. They're not just one-dimensional on the paper. But I've been through quite a lot of stuff, both good and bad, in my life, and I've experienced a lot of the emotions personally already.
Mm.
So for me, being able to address changing in and out, I've already been through that. It's not something that I'm inexperienced with. So I'm able to go home, be with the people that I love the most, show up for them, and just put the professional stuff to the side, lay back on the sofa, and just be me. And that's just what I do. If I'm abroad, obviously it's a different thing. But if I'm domestically here in Los Angeles, then I force myself to make sure that I'm back to being Robert. Like I said, car ride, music, just put something happy on, and that's it.
That's good when that works, because I was told a few times that sometimes it's hard to let go of the role after the shooting day.
Yep. It can be. It can be very difficult. It just depends on the person. It changes from person to person.
Do you have a kind of routine when you have shooting days? I don't know, going for a walk before going on set, or drinking every time the same type of coffee, or... I don't know.
There are certain things in my day-to-day. I keep very routine as it is. Normally, I meal prep my food, my breakfast, and that way when I get up in the morning, I can just go to the kitchen and it's ready for me. My coffee, I don't like drinking hot coffee. I prefer it when it's cold. So I prep a big container of coffee, and then I let it cool down, put it in the fridge, and then I can just wake up in the morning, get a cup, pour my coffee in, and I can just drink and do my thing. When I'm on set, my big things are just making sure that I make sure that when I get home, my environment is clean. If I come home to mess, then I'm constantly thinking about cleaning up. And I'm being paid to remember lines. I'm being paid to deliver a performance. I'm not being paid to stress about the things that are going on at home. So if I can make sure that my house is in order, then I can be healthier when I get to set. So as long as I know that I've got fuel in my car, as long as I know that my coordination with production, when I've got my lines, my call sheet, I know when I need to show up. As long as I have all of that, my routine just stays pretty much the same. It's one of the main reasons why I meal prep, especially if I'm just eating for myself. I'll cook in bulk.
Are you loving cooking?
I'm a good cook, but sometimes I want to make the simple stuff because I know that I have an aesthetic to worry about, and I have other things in my life to worry about besides making sure I have all these different ingredients for different meals of the day. But I have a very open palate. I have no allergies. I was raised in a way that my parents gave me exposure to cuisine of all different types from around the world. So I'm very grateful that I get to know and taste all these different flavors and experiences. So I have an array of cooking books in my kitchen, and I sometimes get around to doing it and I sometimes don't. It just depends on how big.
Yeah. Me too.
And sometimes I'm just not allowed in. Sometimes I'm not allowed in the kitchen. So, and that's okay.
Not allowed in the kitchen. Okay, that's a fair reason not to cook.
People sometimes just say, I'm going to cook today. And that's okay. But I will be here to help you. I will cut the onions. I'll peel potatoes. I'll do all that sort of stuff. And then if you want me to leave the kitchen, I will leave the kitchen. I will do whatever I can to help. But if it's just me, yes, I'm a more than capable cook.
Yeah, I'm just asking because, you know, sometimes when I watch these cooking verticals and there were actors doing, or let's say posing like a chef, and when you ask them, can you cook? No. Okay. I assume that because it was a bit stupid how you use the knife in this vertical.
Yeah, there was a scene I did in one of my earlier projects where I had to take over from the meal prep in the kitchen for someone else. And before we started rolling the cameras, my co-star wasn't sure how to correctly cut up a vegetable. I said, you put your hand here, not here, otherwise you're going to cut your finger off. This way, it's going to be a nice rocking motion.
Yeah.
And just don't have your fingers like this, otherwise you'll lose the end of your finger. Do that so you're rolling the knife against the edge of your finger, and then that way you're not going to slice your finger off. So all these different things, I'm not the world's best cook, but I know what I'm doing there.
Okay. And everyone survived so far. You're eating what you cooked. Okay. That's good. Then it's totally easy peasy. So I saw in your stories lately that you wrote scripts. What was the intention? What was the point where you said, okay, Robert, now we have to do it by ourselves because the storylines are getting more and more shitty, which were offered? Or what was the intention to start? You know what I mean.
Yeah. So I forget which month it was, last year in 2025, but I was part of a mafia panel for Vertfest.
At the end of August was the Vertfest. Yeah.
So myself, Nick Rotaco, and Stephen Marana were in this panel.
I saw this panel.
And, yeah, you did. Thank you very much. And someone very kindly said, or someone very intriguingly said, would the three of you ever want to work together? And, you know, of course, absolutely. It's just, we don't normally get to choose who we work with. It's very, very rare that you are allowed to have the full choice of who you get to work with. Let alone have three individuals who all read for the same roles be on the same project together. So it got me thinking, how could we do this? And then I started to brainstorm. So it wasn't so much that I was going into the Vertfest panel with the intention of writing something, but the question from someone asking if the three of us would work together made me think, we could do something and we could make something special with this.
You can.
And then I was actually going on to a new project when I'd started brainstorming what I was doing. I had a little notepad and pen with me when I was off set. And then when I was on set, in between takes, I'd get my phone out and I'd just start writing little notes down just so I didn't forget. And then when I felt comfortable enough that I had notes, I thought, let's write stuff down and see what works. And fast forward 2.5 months later, I had the first draft of the script that we will be working on in a few months.
Were you comfortable with writing scripts, or was it learning by doing? Or
I've written, prior to writing this one, I had written 3 full length features and 1 short film. So the structure, just sort of the whole script writing formula, I was already very familiar with. It's also just a way of me sort of clearing my head, and you know, you put ideas on paper, and sometimes you come up with a story and sometimes you don't. It doesn't mean it was bad. It just means that, you know, the idea didn't work for you.
Yeah.
So doing this, it was a bit more complex. It's difficult talking about it because the three of us wanted to be so much of a surprise, just because of the uniqueness of the story. But yeah, it's become probably the script that I'm the most proud of that I've written.
Okay.
There's a hook every single part of this. It's going to be a very, very engaging story, and the three of us are very excited to bring life to it.
Mm. Is there also a female lead, or is it just a man-ruled vertical?
No, there are three equally strong female characters to the three male. I'm very big on making sure, and this can be a soundbite. I'm very big on making sure that the female leads in this industry get the love, support, and the accolades that they all deserve, because our projects are very much run by the female leads that we have. Whether it's the female lead, whether it's the female villain, they all are incredibly talented individuals. So for me, making sure that the three of them were not just sort of left by the wayside so that we can tell this story for three guys, it was very important that they have strong roles.
That's good. So. Because mostly the female ones, as you said, I always adore the female roles in the verticals, because they took so many hits, so many slaps, so many physically, they do always a really physically job. And if you then hear that they are get paid less than the male one who's just standing there and looking good, sorry, I cannot understand that.
No, the women should be paid. They should absolutely be paid as much, if not more, than the men.
Yeah,
because of the content and the difficulties that they go through. In this one that I wrote, as I said earlier, I don't do roles where there's domestic abuse involved, and I made sure to stay true with that with my writing. Mm. They are all female. They are strong female women. They are all strong female roles. They don't do the damsel in distress thing. They don't need a man to come and save them.
Oh yes, then they don't need to get hooked up, that they can move in with the billionaire.
No, none of that. It's going to be a very different. It's going to be a very different story that the vertical space is not used to.
That's really good. So what's the plan for that coming out this year?
The intention is that we film it, as I said, within the next few months.
Yeah.
We want to drop little breadcrumbs for it during the summer, and then probably with a look to release it sometime in the autumn.
Yeah.
Winter.
So
period.
Till the end of the year, roundabout.
Yeah. If we can release it sooner. Excellent.
Yeah.
So that's the goal.
Oh yeah, fingers crossed.
Just for everyone who messages me about it, for everyone who inquires about the status of it.
You're on it. You're on it.
Myself, Stephen, and Nick talk about it so much, and the progression and keeping things moving forward on a bi-week, you know, like every single week, maybe sometimes two, three times a week, we're talking about it. So it's not something that's being left by the wayside. It's not just an idea. This is something that is going to be done. It's something that is going to be made, and we are going to give it every bit of energy that we can to create the best product possible.
When I recorded with Nick, I said to him, because we want to do some other vertical ideas, I offered him to doing a detective one and stuff, and oh yes, and no, you know, I spoke with Kirby Elwood, and Kirby wants to shoot in Europe. She never shot in Europe any verticals, and we decided that I will win the European lottery.
Okay.
And that's round about 100 million euros. And then I will fund six verticals, all in Europe, in different countries, with two detective leads, like Miss Marple and Sherlock Holmes, you know. And I asked Nick if he wants to be part of it. And he said, hell yeah, absolutely. And then I told him, when I will win this lottery, then there is enough money left to make a second part of yours then, just for your information.
Yeah, love that. I love that.
So I'm working on the money. You have to work on the part two script then, okay? But I
will tell you this then. Yesterday, Stephen and I were already discussing ideas for part two. So we are intending on making more than one of these.
That's good, and that's fate. You know what I mean?
Yep. So I'm hoping that you become rich, and I'm hoping that I can tell more stories.
So you just want to get to know me because of my money? Huh. Okay.
You mentioned the money first. I didn't bring the money up first.
But you said right now you have to win the money. That was a bit of dominant. You have to win it. Yeah.
If you don't, I'll just find someone else. I'm just joking.
Then you are out. Sorry, Michaela, if you can't bring the money home, then you are out. Okay. No, I have three options, you know. Maybe I will find the hidden billionaire I haven't found yet. Yeah, you know, when I was a lot of time in the hospital, I was always searching for the hot doctor, billionaire, hidden heiress. Haven't found it. So
go and show the black card? No, nothing like that.
I had a really, really good looking doctor, but he wasn't a billionaire.
Ah.
Yeah.
No good then. No good.
Yeah. No, the other option will be, it would be here in Germany, we have a quiz show, a million euro quiz show. And I already won money in a quiz show in TV, but it was not enough. So I have to maybe to try this type of quiz show. That would be the second option, or the third option, winning the lottery. These are actually the three.
I'm hoping for both. I'm hoping just for you, not for me. I'm hoping for you. You can win both.
Why is that hard to believe now, Robert?
Not hard to believe at all. Is
okay.
You know, I'm familiar with the odds for winning the lottery, and I know that they're not great.
It was not great when I won that bunch of money in the TV show. That was also not so great. I can tell you.
So that means that there's hope. It means that there's hope.
But I won it right before I got divorced. So take a guess where the money went.
That is unfortunate. That is rather unfortunate.
It is. It is. So you said you have been to China filming Vertical. Where else have you shot Verticals? Outside LA?
Just in LA. The LA base keeps me busy. I have been approached about doing Vietnam, London, Turkey, Lithuania.
Turkey?
Yeah.
And you didn't do it?
It's not that I didn't. It just didn't work out for me to do it. So a project just came out. I won't say which one, but a project just came out where I was... my team were reached out to on my behalf, and they said that I was their first choice to be the male lead. And then upon reflection, it turned out that they didn't think that I looked old enough, which I know the vertical space can embellish a few things, but I don't personally think that I look old enough to have a 21-year-old son, just personally.
Okay, but come on, sometimes Kira Wisely has an already 11-year-old daughter.
I have had a 9-year-old daughter before on screen. I can make that work. Kira's a timeless looking lady. She can make anything work. But for me personally, I said that was one of my
20.
One of my I can act. I can make a lot of things look convincing. And I have people on a monthly basis from back in China say to me, you look like you could be old enough to pass as a 50-year-old. I'm like, no, I don't think I am. No.
That's why we spoke earlier before, that someone is telling you, you look really old. Thanks for that. No, thank you.
If it's just your own naivety, or if I need to work on my life and do a bit better.
We look old and wise. You know, it's more the wise authority, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, we'll go with that. But no, I wasn't able to go to Lithuania because of that. And Poland as well. I've been asked to go to Poland a few times. And then a similar situation happened where they wanted me again to have, I don't know what it is about people trying to force me into having a son who is, or a daughter who is 21 years old, but it seems to be a reoccurring. So I've already told my management team, you know, the next time this happens, we'll say yes and we'll see what happens. I'll jump on a plane. We'll see what happens.
Maybe then you will get some bit gray hairs, you know, when Ashley played in the vertical, the mother of Hayley Lorelei. That was also silly. And they got her two gray stripes in the hair, and that should have made her old, really?
I will tell you now that having seen the ending product and the two performers who ended up booking it, they got great reviews. Well done to them. This is for the Lithuania one. They did not put any whitening or hair graying stuff in the male actor's hair. And then for the job in Poland, I've seen the behind the scenes, that project's not come out yet, but the project has wrapped. The guy that they went for looked sufficiently older. So I just told my managers, next time it happens, we'll just say yes. And when I arrive in a different country, I'll just say, I told you so.
You said I'm looking that old, so here I am. We have to do it.
Yeah, I'm open to anything now. Bring it on. Bring it on.
If you're playing a grandpa.
Let me correct that. I'm not open to absolutely anything. I'm going to correct that. Okay. The internet could clip that and absolutely run with it. I'm open to ideas. I'm willing to collaborate on ideas.
Okay, that sounds good. No, because shooting in Turkey or Lithuania for drama pops, quality is always so good on the drama pop. And that, though,
they are doing incredible stuff right now. They really are, and it's very, very exciting. And it's one of the reasons
storylines.
Yep. The stories are. They're getting better. They are more convincing. They're a bit more diverse. That's what the audience wants to see. It's what the performers want to be a part of. It's something that's refreshing. You always watch Hollywood. Hollywood will either bring out new content or they will do remakes. And when they bring out the new content, it always does better because the space is just how many decades has Hollywood been going for now? And it's because the space is constantly being revamped and fresh things coming through. And that's what people want. It keeps the world moving.
Yeah, we need something fresh. You know, I started watching Verticals in summer 2023, and I watched more than 1,500 so far, I think, roundabout. Yeah.
That's a good app.
I cannot do a podcast talking about Verticals when I have watched 50 Verticals, you know what I mean?
It definitely makes hosting a podcast a bit more believable when you know what you're talking about.
And I did some acting stuff here in Germany too. So I am also a bit confirmed with acting stuff, you know, for me. And that's what it makes for me so interesting to get this whole picture of this vertical stuff, how it's done, how it's developed, how it improves all over the years and stuff. So who told me that I'm an oldie watcher? I don't know who said that from your colleagues. But when you were started so early like I did, you know, in 2024, the content was really good. The storylines were good. Not so full of violation, not so full of miscarriaging, kidnapping, raping, the whole bunch. In 2025, you saw a lot of new platforms popped up. Yeah. A lot. Every week, there were a bunch of shows, but every time with the same. Okay, it's my podcast. I can say it with the same story trope shit. Sorry. And
you can always bleep that out. It is your show.
No, I'm not peeping anything out because the truth has to be said. So every month, I'm doing a monthly recap episode with the big review ladies, you know, with Aline from I Love Verticals, Dahlia from Vertical Films Lover. Megan is sometimes joining when she's available. Shika from Vertical View Weekly, Caitlin from Verticate. And we are discussing every month in the monthly recap, the verticals which dropped in the latest month. And we were not sugarcoating. We are also talking about of the crap of the month and what disappointed us. You're laughing. But
No, it's the fact that it has to be said. Yes. It's nice to hear someone say it without sugarcoating it. So that's what I'm laughing about. I'm not laughing. The fact that you're doing it is wonderful.
I can tell you the first question I'm always asking is, okay, ladies, how many verticals have you watched this month and how many did you turn off?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's mostly minimum 10% which we turned off. And then we talk about why we turned it off. What exact, we do not say that was shit. We give you always the reasons why it was shit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's always for a valid reason.
Yeah. And I do this since last year of September. I can tell you a lot of people from the industry, also script writers, whatever, are waiting every month for this episode. I'm every time getting messages, when will you drop the new monthly recap? I want to hear if you talked about this and that. Yeah. Because we are talking about actor, actress of the month, side role of the month, the app of the month, crap of the month, chemistry of the month. And I can tell you, since we are doing this, never ever there was a big platform which got month of app of the month. It's mostly Drama Pops, My Drama, or Viglu or Candy Jam. No, Viglu lately not so more because they are not dropping really much shows at the moment, or Candy Jar. Every time, one of these apps.
It's sad because of the names that you mentioned. Obviously, we just spoke about Drama Pops, and I would love to eventually finally work with them. Candy Jar, I would love to work with them finally.
German-based.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so good, you know. Good quality.
I just worked with Viglu for the first time recently, and it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I want to.
Also, My Drama, you know.
Yeah.
My Drama has so good storylines.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I want. I mean, you know, the idea of going and working over in Ukraine is so good because there's a lot of, not necessarily, it's not so much it's the content that they put out from the Ukrainian-based teams. So many of my friends are, you know, worried about going over there. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't still be filming if there was any danger to my life.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people. Look, Kiki Frex, he was there.
I met Kiki for the first time yesterday, and he loves it. And he talks about it so glowingly. And it can't be a coincidence that if he enjoys it, or if, you know, X number of people enjoy it, maybe they have something good that's going on there.
Yeah. You know, I think the smaller platforms are more willing to take risk for new storylines. Look, recently, the first pilot vertical dropped. At the beginning of the May, the second one will drop on My Drama with the Nick Ritacco in it, you know, and Emma Reinagle. So mostly all the stories on Candy Jar are based on booked stories. Every time you turn on a vertical, you see based on book, blah, blah, blah. So you can be assured that the storyline is always good and not. Let me tell you, the first pirate vertical, which dropped lately, Beneath Crimson Sails, shot in Vancouver. The whole vertical has one slap in it, one. And that's in the first 10 seconds of the vertical. And that's it.
And that's what I want us to get to the stage where we don't need to tell storylines through hitting people. There is always a different, we are taught in our own personal lives that violence isn't always the answer. And if that's the case in reality, then why do we need the clickbait moments of violence? And, you know, I was on a set watching someone be slapped over and over. It's so uncomfortable for us to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see it, you watch it. It is sadly normally the women who are experiencing it. And watching someone have to, swing their head from left to right, it's going to hurt your neck after a while. And that's not, it's very unsafe. Regardless of whether you have a stunt coordinator or an intimacy coordinator, eventually it takes a physical toll. And getting away from that is so exciting. And I, again, I there's a lot of Vancouver teams that
I'm in contact with and the content that I see them creating. It's very, very exciting. It's a very exciting direction for the industry.
Yeah, and no one can tell me that this massive violation is needed for the clickbaits, because the story I saw in 2024, my first vertical I ever watched was The Double Life of My Billionaire Husband with Jared Harper in it. Or and the second one I saw was Breaking the Ice with Seth Adin. So these storylines, they were big hits, and not even 10% of all this violation and stuff crap they are having lately in all the shows. And no one can tell me that that type is needed to get the clickbaits. We have a lot of shows back in 2024 which went very well without all this shit.
Yeah. It's hopeful that it's the direction that I hope that we get back to, so that we can bring a bit of, there's a lot of unfortunate stereotyping about the vertical industry from people who are not a part of the vertical industry. And I want us to get to a stage where it's not frowned upon anymore. Now, once upon a time, television was frowned upon by film. And we just happened to be in the period of time where the vertical format is being frowned upon from a traditional horizontal format. And some of the best performers that I know, some of the most talented individuals, both in front and behind the camera, work in the vertical space. And I want to see each and every single person, especially the ones that I know, that I'm friends with, I want to see them all be immensely successful, more successful than they already are. And it's so possible to do that as long as we keep on evolving and doing and being better. And that's what I want us to see. And that's why I'm glad that there's so many apps that are doing the better work.
Yeah, and okay, in my opinion, we it would be better to have a bit less of the apps, because for the audience, it's really tricky with more than 200 apps, you know, and every time they're coming new and new apps and you are sitting here, oh, come on, really? I cannot purchase so many memberships to watch a show.
That there's only so much money, but you haven't won the lottery yet.
It's all about the shitty lottery. Okay, I have to work on it from Monday on again. Okay. Be realistic. What would be a good budget for a vertical? 400,000? 500? You know, that I can calculate a bit what is
it. It's dependent on so many factors. It depends on how much talent is being paid. It depends on how much you need for production. It depends on the scope of the story that you're telling. It depends on the length of the script. Obviously, the more days, the more cost. It depends on how much. A lot of these are successful because the platforms are prepared to generate revenue by advertising. And if you don't advertise, you're not going to make as much because people aren't aware of it. So it depends on how much money you're prepared to put into advertising. So it's always going to be different.
What would be comfortable for us to do a bit verticals? Are you so expensive as a script writer?
I just want to tell good stories.
Okay.
So one thing about me, and my managers are going to hate me saying this, I'm always prepared to talk about taking a discount if the story is worth it. If you're going to pay me top dollar, and I apologize to my managers for saying this. if you want to pay me to be in a vertical where my character is dependent on all the domestic violence, but you want to pay me so much money.
Yeah.
My criteria is you either take out the violence and I'll take a discount for less violence, or you can go find somebody else.
Okay. But when I will win a bunch of money, can I get that deal with you, book you, let's say, 4 verticals and the 5th for free or stuff like that?
My managers will not let me work for free. But, you know, you can always talk about it, you know? Never say never. You have to remember that I have people who are going to watch this. So...
But there are, you know, I got bills to pay. Are you kidding?
I know. But if I would come up to you and would say, Robert, listen, we can do this detective criminal BAMS things in Europe. Right away, I offer you 6 verticals to do. Will I get a discount for that amount of numbers I'm doing with you?
100%. 100%.
Okay.
If you're going to bring me anywhere around the world and you guarantee me 6 verticals, I'll take a discount.
Yeah, the plan with Kirby was doing 6 verticals. But in every, we will do one, listen, we will do one Turkey, one in Lithuania, one in France, one in Scotland, one in Germany, and one in Italy. And Kirby demanded that she wants to be minimum round about 3 weeks in every country because a great shooting day and a bit of vacation.
Couldn't agree more. Yes.
So it would be, let's say, a half a year project in Europe for you.
It sounds awful. When can I come?
No, because I'm asking you because you have already the citizenship and not the visa problems. That's why I'm asking. You have to be smart.
Yeah. Oh, no, of course. If someone was to come to me and offer me that, that was one of my problems. When I went to China, I was there for 2 weeks. People say to me, how was China? What was it like to experience? And I don't know. I didn't get to experience any of it. I was on set. I was flying for 4 days. I had one day off and it was only half a day.
And the working hours are so long in China, right?
Typically, they don't intend on them being long. It just so happens. So, how long would you say the average vertical is to watch? How long would you say?
1 hour 15.
1 hour 15. Okay. So the final number when I watched that back, because I wanted to make sure that my performance was at least good enough, it was 2 hours and 4 minutes.
Yeah, the Chinese verticals are always longer. I told that I did an episode about the intercultural differences between Chinese produced verticals and the key verticals and the US verticals. I had a girl from Korea talking to me, and she was confirmed with all the C and K dramas. And she said to me that the Chinese verticals are always longer than usual.
I will say whether it was intentional or not, my average day on set over there was 17 hours.
Okay, so there was none time left to explore the city. Get it?
None at all. So we had 2 days. I said 4 days for, I may have got my number of days jumbled up. Essentially 2 days flying both there and then 2 days flying back. We had 2 days for wardrobe fittings and table reads. We had, I'm pretty sure it was 8 days of filming and 1 day off. I don't know how many days that adds up to, but it was a lot. And we didn't really get to explore a lot because it was that. So what, you know, if someone was to offer me the chance to go and explore another country and enjoy it, I will happily take a discount to do that. So to any platforms who are wanting to hire me and bring me to anywhere in Europe or anywhere around the world, talk to me, email me. I'm open.
Robert is your man. And for the European shooting locations, it's said that he has a citizenship. There is no visa issue. He can go right away.
To any, especially any English-based ones, so many people want to see me play an English character. Please. Just once. That's all I'm asking for.
Please, let me be one time origin, please.
Fly me over and just let me be.
They recently started shooting verticals here in Europe, in Germany.
Again, I've never spent enough time in Germany to enjoy it. So I've always just been sort of passing through. It's always just been passing through. I think the first time I ever went to Germany, it was on a school vacation trip, and
where have you been?
I don't even remember. We stopped at a gas station in the middle of the night just to refuel the coat, and then we went down to Switzerland. So I don't remember. I couldn't tell you where. I was so disorientated,
okay,
and tired. I couldn't tell you.
Okay, I see. We have to get you over to Europe,
as many places as possible. Heck, bring me and Kirby over. That would be wonderful.
Kirby will be totally in.
Her and I have already discussed the idea of filming abroad together. So if we can make that happen, bring it on.
Yeah, when I was recording with her, she was really mad that a lot of her friends were asked last year to shoot in Europe. And she said,
yeah,
my offer, I'm still waiting for my offer.
I'm one of them. It's become an ongoing joke in my friend circles. Whenever I see someone booking a British accented role, that I'm still yet to book one. It's reached a point where every once in a while, one of my characters says, you know, he's an adopted character. Well, if I'm adopted, you don't need to know. I don't need to have a, you don't need an American accent for that. If I'm not related by blood, you don't need that. So I'll sometimes take creative license and do it. But I've never, 19 projects and counting, I've been rejected or not even given a second glance.
Really?
To be a British character, whether it's a prince, whether it's just some whatever.
What's the reason? Do you not look British enough or what?
I never get told. Some people have said that it's, you know, I maybe don't have the long flowing hair that some, you know, that sort of Prince Charming-esque person. Which, whatever. I have, one of the reasons why a lot of mafia and sort of anti-hero roles come across my desk is because I have darker features, probably because I have a deeper voice. And if that's the case, great, wonderful. But just once.
Please.
Please don't let me get to 20 rejections, please.
Okay. I will make a special call on my podcast. Please help Robert out of this misery, out of this non-British misery, okay? Okay.
It's a joke, please.
Yeah. No, I will, you know, as I said, they started shooting Verticals 2 hours here from my hometown. Also with English-speaking actors. Let me see what I can do for you.
Please do. Please.
Latest when, you know, the money comes in. I'm there for you, Robert.
My emails are open. Anyone who wants to contact me or
I will be your hero, okay? Just kidding. No, just kidding. One last question I want to ask you before I'm asking the 5-question quickie. What has acting taught you for life?
To enjoy every moment when you get it, because you don't know when the last time might be the last. I leave set never thinking that I'm going to be immediately booking my next project. I never leave set thinking that I'm going to work with a team again or another performer again. And I've been very, very lucky in my life that the I'm not even going to call them performers or actors. I'm going to call them the talent, because that's what they are. The talent around me, I've always managed to stay in communication with. I'm lucky enough that the producers that I work with, PAs, everyone from top to bottom, I've always been very, very lucky to work with them, and I never take it for granted that I'm going to work with them again. So I try and embrace every single moment. And it's the same thing with my personal life. It's someone that, you know, I never take for granted the phone calls with my parents, with my siblings. I never take for granted the moments with my loved ones, because I never know when the last time is going to be the last. That's the most important thing. Embrace every opportunity and make the most of every opportunity, because tomorrow is never guaranteed.
That's so beep true. Yeah. Wise words. And a lot of people forget that too many times. Yeah, it's the case. Yeah. So listen. So Robert, at the end of every episode, I'm asking a 5-question quickie. Every time. The 5 same question. First one, you said you can cook. What's your favorite dish to eat?
My father makes an incredible Thai red chicken curry. And then I follow that up. Whenever I go back to England, my father makes a Thai red chicken curry. And then my mum will make profiteroles with melted dark chocolate sauce.
Soul food. Is there any typical English food you like? I mean, the English kitchen is a bit weird.
I'm going to remain impartial to that. My
My mother and father make an incredible, well, both cottage and shepherd's pie. And I've had people over, I've had it over here, and people have made it over here, and it's been equally as good because everyone puts their own little twist on it. But I'd say as far as authentic English cuisine goes, that's the kind of thing that I love, because it's just soul. It's just, it's good for the soul, and it makes you feel warm and happy inside.
Oh, yeah. Then it's a typical soul food. Yeah, true. Do you have any, when we are talking about soul food, do you have any comfort movie? A movie you rewatched so many times because every time you watch it, it makes you so cozy and comfort.
Can I give you more than one?
Depending on how much. 50. No, top three, okay? Give me a top three.
Not necessarily because they make me happy, but just because I can put them on like that and just watch them and feel entertained. Being English, I love Casino Royale, which is Daniel Craig's her first adventure into James Bond. And I think it's just the most complete James Bond film. Hello, dog.
Just asking you, but when is your role in James Bond coming? James Bond Vertical? I saw you lately fitting in a really good suit for...
That's me dropping breadcrumbs to all of the casting directors and producers and platforms that follow me. I am currently working on a script for one right now. Because again, I'm tired of being rejected for English roles, so I'm making them for myself. And I have friends who work at platforms who have said, send me a script and we can make it happen. So I'm trying to make it happen myself. Otherwise, if someone wants to come to me with one of those roles, we want to talk about those discounts. Let's do it.
Kind of special agent with a bit of action.
Bring it on. So that's my bread and butter. I would say the first Avengers film is another comfort one. If I'm on an airplane and that's there, I'll watch it. And then Return of the King, Lord of the Rings. It's a little bit longer, but there's something there.
I haven't seen Lord of the Rings.
Oh, you have to watch it. Why?
I haven't seen, okay, I can say it openly, I think for the 10th time, because a lot of your colleagues were also disappointed that I haven't watched Lord of the Rings. I haven't watched Game of Thrones either, and nothing of Star Trek, Star Wars, or anything like that. So.
Oh, yes. Oh, dude. Oh.
It's that we come to the end, Rob, right? Because I now lost all the sympathy.
I don't know if you'd have said this at the beginning, I may have had.
You may have said, sorry, Miel, I have to go. I forgot. Oh, so.
Sometimes it's not for everybody, but those are the go-to ones. Yeah.
Yeah, but you as a James Bond.
Bring it on, please.
Okay, I will add that on my money. If I will get the money list, I will add that one too, okay? With the kind of curious special effects and stuff. Then we can put a bigger budget for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll hike that budget up, and if I have to take discounts, I will.
Then we have to make it with great
management.
Special effects.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If we're going to do it, we have to do it. The one that I'm writing... There's the guns, the gadgets, the special effects, the stunts. Think of a traditional James Bond.
So with the martini?
You have to include the martinis. There's going to be all of that sort of stuff. Think of a traditional, think of Casino Royale, and that's the style that I'm going for.
Where would be the optimum shooting location for a vertical like that?
It could be anywhere. We could genuinely do a James Bond film anywhere. They've filmed them all over the world. So we could genuinely do one anywhere. I've seen some fan accounts that sort of create scenarios and posters with, you know, the computer generated stuff. And I've seen myself riding around on a scooter with a certain female actress that we have previously mentioned in this. And we're, you know, riding around the streets of Italy, actually. And
Did it look good?
It did. It looked really good. I've seen me jumping off of the burning building before.
You have somewhere a vision board with all this stuff? Maybe you should do it.
The vision board is here, and I'm putting it onto paper, and then we'll create something. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Do you have a comfort music?
So my okay. It's not a conventional comfort music, but my favorite band of all time that I've been on record by saying is Linkin Park. My favorite song of all time is In the End by Linkin Park. I have told people to stop talking just so that I can listen to In the End. But at the same time, if I'm in a happy mode, and this is going to be a little bit different, but I love country music. Country music gives a different energy.
The cozy music.
It is. You can sit by a fire with some hot chocolate and listen to it. You can sit out on the deck. Like, I've been on record saying that I want to be a father. I want to have that sort of happy married life with a couple dogs, children.
Sitting in the backyard.
Sitting in the backyard, watching my kids play, throwing a ball to them, playing soccer or football, sorry.
I got it.
That's the life that I want ultimately. And that it's a style of music that just adheres to that lifestyle, and that works perfectly for me.
Yeah, you know, but to be honest, some people don't understand the fulfilling of such a situation. Sitting out in the garden, in the nature, just enjoying the moment.
That's it. So one thing I've learned about in my life is that sometimes I've been lost in the moment. Oh, sorry, that I've been so lost in being so career-driven in, you know, making money for the future that I've lost out on being present in the moment. And that's what I want. And to the people, if people watch this, you know who you are. We'll leave that at that. But that's the life that I want. That's the life that I was brought up with. My parents gave me a phenomenal upbringing. And that's the life that my mom and dad had with myself and my siblings. My brother is a wonderful father. And it's the life that I want. I'm pretty sure it's the life that my sister wants. So if I can have that, my kids can grow up being friends with their cousins.
Yeah, I'm playing out there in the neighborhood till the evening and then coming home and not... You know, I grew up in a village with 600 people. Mm-hmm. We were all day out on the streets in the woods.
That was me. Yeah.
And my parents never told me, you have to be home lately at 6. They said always come home before it gets dark. Okay.
Yep, before it gets dark. You can't really do that anymore now, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
But that's the way I was brought up. My parents were very, very giving with that life, and that's the comfort that I want. And that's what that music allows me to have.
But let me ask you this question then.
Yep.
Is it possible to get that feeling in LA? Or is it in LA so, let's say, you know, town? I don't know. I mean, LA is a big city, you know? Are there really quiet places where you have the possibility to get this feeling?
It's possible if you have the money.
Okay, it's all about the money.
But, so here's my thing that I've been on record saying quite a few times. If I have to leave LA to have that life, I will. You get one shot at life. And it's very important that money comes and goes.
Yep.
And I'm surrounded by a lot of people who love me all around the world. And if I have to commute in, if I can commute in and out to work, wonderful. But if it means, because you're also talking about your mental health there. If you're constantly striving for something, but you don't allow yourself to seek it or have it, you're doing yourself a disservice. And there are plenty of, being that I've had life over, I've experienced life in North Carolina, I've experienced life in New Jersey, and to an extent up in Massachusetts. It's a beautiful way of life up there. And if that's something that... There are plenty of Hollywood actors who don't live in Los Angeles. And it's possible to be elsewhere. It really is.
Yeah. And you know, if you will win the American lottery with a bunch of money, then you can make your own film production company and produce whatever you want.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good stuff that's not filming in Los Angeles. You know, Atlanta, North Carolina, Tennessee, upstate New York. There's a lot of places.
I saw lately Danny Farber shot his first vertical in Kentucky.
Was it Kentucky? I thought it was Tennessee. But either way, it was somewhere in that.
Was it not? Was it Tennessee?
Because he was filming with Jackson Tiller, Grace Swanson, and Becca Berg in, I think it was in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Ah, yeah, it was Knoxville. Sorry. Yeah. I mixed that up.
But again, that is a beautiful part of the country. And they have that country way of life. And who am I to say no if given the opportunity?
I'm not the big city girl.
I grew up in a very big city, but I didn't have a big city upbringing.
I worked in so many big cities, you know, when I was doing this IT projects. Mm-hmm. But it was so weird every time when I come back home to the landscape area and go out for a walk in the forest and it was simply quiet, you know, only the birds chirping and
walking the dogs down a country lane.
Surrounded me so deeply, I can tell you.
It's the lifestyle that I grew up with. Walking the dogs down a country lane, listening to cattle, listening to birds in the trees, the water, you know, a fresh river.
That's why I have still a dog that I have to go out every day just to take a break from the day.
The craziness that life is.
Yeah, it is. So, two questions left, Robert. When I would come to you and say, Robert, I've never watched any verticals, which one of yours should I have definitely watched?
Definitely to watch, just for an all-rounded look, would be Stole Your Alpha for Revenge.
Do you know what platform that is?
I want to say Kalos TV, Mini Shorts.
Yeah, if it's Mini Shorts, most of it's also on Kalos.
Yeah. If you want my, I'm the villain role that I mentioned, I'm not in it for very long, but the impact that I made was very good. But that was originally on Drama Box. I don't know where it is now. It came out quite a while ago. And then my first ever lead, which was Forbidden Love on Playlet. They are two, they're watching myself as a lead now versus watching my very first lead. If I could go back and redo Forbidden Love, I happily would, just so I can give it the experience that I have now. And yeah, I think those are three all-rounded projects.
Okay. So we spoke a bit about it. Which genre you want to see more on you? Exceptional James Bond stuff.
I would, of course, the secret agent genre. But I mean, that's more of a what type of character. I love
the action parts stuff.
I love action. Anything that allows me to be a real person. So action, drama, romance.
Oh, come on, drama. We have enough drama in the verticals.
When I say drama, I mean the ability as a performer to be able to sort of spread out and have a complex character who is strong, stoic, emotional, happy, angry, all those sorts of things.
Okay.
Because the nature of the vertical space is creating drama. But if I was to pick one specific genre that I would just do for the rest of my career, the mafia genre is what I sort of appeal to the most, or what appeals to me the most.
The British mafia guy.
Bring it on. That strong stoic type. I'll take that mantle.
Would you be open for comedy?
I would love to. I've never found myself to be good at doing stand. I can't do stand up to save my life. But if I was to, I can be situationally funny, self-deprecating, which I've been criticized for so many times. That's just in the nature of being a Brit. We are very self-deprecating as people.
Yeah, the British humor is special.
There is a comedy romance drama that I'm writing currently. I have five other verticals besides the one that I'm doing with Nick and Stephen that I'm writing all at the same time. And I started writing it purely because of one specific male act that I want to work with.
Okay.
So he would play my brother, and the two of us would be having our own little family battle. But that would be a comedy, and I would love to just try and venture into that just to sort of see how I am with it. So.
Yeah, that would be, or a parody about making a vertical.
That would be a very interesting vertical.
Yeah, but I'm...
Be like an office style vertical. That would be where you have like sort of the interviews, people, that would be very good.
Okay, we need a bunch of money, I see. Yeah, the 100 million, it's the European lottery jackpot, the big one is needed.
If you can make it, that would be, I'd be thrilled for you, and then I'd bombard you with messages.
Aha, then you would use me. Okay.
Is that what that means?
I don't know. It depends what you're writing. If you're starting your messages with, "Hello, Michaela. I just want to ask," then beep, you're out.
How are you? I hope you're doing well.
No, your first question should be, "How is your dog doing?"
Oh, yeah. Once the fact that you showed me the dog first, that takes priority over any human being. Dogs come for always.
Hello, that's normal. I know mostly the dog names before I know how the people. That's a landscape life, you know.
That's the way it is as a dog owner.
So, I'm working on it, Rob. I will send you a message as soon as it happened. Okay.
I love it. I can't wait. I hope it's as soon as possible for you.
That would be. Imagine this one, you know, winning such a big lottery, and someone will come up to you and say, "What will you do with the money?" "I'm funding verticals." "What?" "Yeah, I'm funding verticals."
I can imagine it being a very profitable thing to do individually.
I think so. To be honest, it's...
Especially if you do it new and creative ideas, definitely.
With a new platform. So, no.
That's for you to decide.
No. I will buy up Candy Jar then. It's already based in Germany, you know, so.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. I will work that out, and I will inform you as soon as I'm near to find the vertical.
I hope for your sake it's sooner rather than later.
Oh, come on, not for my sake. You're hoping it for your sake too.
Oh, no, you might win it and say, "You know what, Robert? I don't want to talk to you anymore." You never know. it might be. It might be that kind of scenario. You never know. I want you to win that.
Do you?
I want you to win money for your own. Oh, no, I don't think that, no. No, I want you to win that so that you have the financial comfortability in your own life that you can do whatever you want to do. Anything from me would be an afterthought. And I mean that genuinely and sincerely. I don't want you to win it for me. I want you to win it for you, for your dog. I want that dog to have a year old now. I want it to have the most comfortable life possible.
He already have.
I'm sure he does.
A lot of people are telling me always, "Michaela, my next life, I want to be a dog at your house."
Could be a worse life.
No, you know, the thing is, my 14 years old one who died lately, I picked him up with 8 weeks. So he lived his whole life here. And we had good times. He broke my leg when he was a year old because he ran straight into me. So we had a special connection, you know, because I have a big scar here on my knee because I had a surgery, plate, nails, everything because of him. So when I was a bit furious and angry with him when he was in a really shit puberty phase, everyone said, "Come on. There is one day that your dog won't like you anymore." Until the last day he walked, he was every time near to a heart attack when he saw me. And I said, "That will never happen, that this dog doesn't like me." Because we are this, BFFs. And a lot of people don't understand it, that the dog show you every day the purest and open, honest love they can get.
Unconditional love comes from a dog. They are pure souls, and they are honestly the best of creatures.
Yeah, that's why I always had dogs for the last, since I'm not able to do, or since I stopped doing my IT project manager job, I decided I need a dog. Yeah, and since then, he would be the sniffing detective dog, by the way, in the vertical serial detective font.
There you go. Companion for Necrotaco is a detective dog. I love it.
Yeah, why not? Why not? More animals in vertical. Yeah.
As long as they don't get hurt, that's all that matters.
True. But as you know, as a detective dog, to be a hero, hello.
Yeah.
And he's a hunting dog, you know. He's really good in sniffing.
Put those skills to a good, good use.
That's it. Robert, I thank you very, very much for your time. And
I've loved it. It's been, I'm glad you finally do this.
I'm normally not a patient person, but some people are worth to wait, you know? So we will stay in contact. I will keep you updated when I'm rich. You won't get a message, but you won't see. You will see science, okay?
There you go. There you go. That's all that I ask.
Yeah. If I will come one day over to LA, stand right in front and say, I'm here to catch you. We have important things to attend to in Europe.
I love that. I love that.
Would you trust me and go with me?
Hey, why not? Why not?
Okay. That's good.
To make that. You come, you do that when you win the lottery and I'll know that it's serious.
You will see the science, Rob. I can tell you. So have a nice, what is it, weekend?
Yeah, it's Saturday already. Good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah. And productivity days ahead. And I'm so curious how your vertical is going on with Nick and Steven.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay tight-lipped about that.
I'm totally fine with that. I love surprises. As I said, I'm not really patient. I'm an Aries from, you know, we are not patient. But as I said, sometimes it's worth to wait. So I can do that. Rob, have a nice day. Bye.
Have a good night. Thank you. And I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode. And I hope you tune in again.